This is Susan Strait, editor of Dimensions Magazine, and I'm here with Ellen Stofan, the former chief scientist of NASA, who will start on April 30th as the John and Adrian Mars director of the National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. Ellen, first question for you is, you resigned from your position as chief scientist at NASA in 2016. Can you describe what that was like?
You know, it was really sad to leave an agency that I loved so much, but I was the science advisor to the administrator, who was a political appointee, and so he was leaving at the end of the administration. And Charlie Bolden, who was the administrator of NASA, just huge hero of mine, African-American Vietnam War era pilot, flew on the shuttle, in, you know, just an incredible person to work with. And he really envisioned the positions of chief scientist and chief technologist as positions that rotated sort of every 2 to 3 years, bringing in an outside and a different perspective to the agency. And so after I'd been there about 2.5 years, I said, you know, Charlie, it's getting time for me to go. And he said, would you stay until the end of the administration, until I leave? And so I was happy to do that because I loved working for him. But I really felt that it was time to let the new administrator pick his own staff and, again, to bring in that different perspective that the next administrator would want.
What is one of your favorite science centers besides Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, of course?
You know, that's such a it's a hard question for me to answer because I love all types of museums, but obviously especially science centers. Probably my favorite that I've visited most recently is the Science Center right at the entrance of our NASA's Kennedy Space Center down at Cape Canaveral in Florida. And it is, I think what I like about it is it's a storytelling museum. So right when you come in, you hear the history of the shuttle. Why was the space shuttle developed? They tell you this marvelous story, and I'm not going to give it away, but by the time you get to actually get up close to the shuttle, you know, I was in tears. And that kind of really grabbing hold of you with a story, the story behind the science, the story of the people who developed the shuttle, and then just really informative exhibits about the science that has been accomplished using the space shuttle. And then they have lots of fun interactives, an interactive that lets you feel how shaky it is when the shuttle would take off. They have modules that kids can kind of crawl through to let you feel like what it's like to be inside the International Space Station. So a real combination of really deep information, but also really nice interactive experiential type exhibits. And those are the types of things to me that let us not just sort of look at science in the old-fashioned way of walking through a gallery, just looking at things and reading labels, but how do you tell the stories behind those things, those artifacts, and how do you let especially kids actually experience, you know, physically some of the things that we scientists and engineers and technologists get really excited about. Let them have some hands-on experiences.
You went to the College of William & Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, a liberal arts university for undergrad. In what ways did it help you as a budding scientist to study in that environment?
You know, for me, it was really never a doubt that I wanted to go to a liberal arts college. I was a huge reader. I loved history. I loved lots of different subjects, even though I knew I wanted to be a scientist. And when I look at and I work with students and I work with colleagues, you can really frankly tell the difference with people who have had a liberal arts education. They tend to be better writers and frequently they tend to be more creative. And at William & Mary, I actually had a minor in art history. And it's really funny, so many scientists I've met through my careers had minors or double majors in music and science or art and science. And I think that creative side is actually incredibly important to the practice of science. I heard on NPR, it was a show that I was watching or listening to on NPR where they were talking about how so many things from science fiction have now become, you know, science fact. And someone on the show said, no one ever invented something that someone didn't imagine first. And that creative, imaginative, fun you know, aspects to science that I think is so critical, I think is really enhanced by a liberal arts education. And so I really truly valued my experience at William & Mary. And also the fact that the professors there that I had in geology were incredibly supportive, knowing my goal of eventually getting a PhD, becoming a planetary geologist. They just supported me, challenged me, helped me. And when you hear so many stories these days of women who face just endless kind of questioning, roadblocks, harassment, and I didn't. I received exactly the opposite. And frankly, I don't know if I would have continued if I had received those kind of roadblocks. So I also extremely value the supportive, amazing environment that I found at William & Mary.
What suggestions do you have for museums, science museums, and institutions to increase STEM accessibility in their communities?
When we look at the fact that science, technology, engineering, math, computer sciences are still really dominated by men, and not just men, but white men. And then when you look at the demographics of our population, they're really changing. And so you say, how are we going to get this next generation to be our generation of innovators, entrepreneurs, explorers, STEM professionals, or even if they don't become STEM professionals, people who have a profound understanding of science, how it works, follow the facts. And to me, museums play such a critical role in attracting and educating those kids on the fun side of things. And one of the ways I think we have to do it is to make sure that we're telling the stories and holding up role models of all people who've been involved in the STEM fields. So not just white men, women of color, men of color, white women who've made incredible contributions all along. Obviously, the incredible popularity we've seen over the last few years with the book Hidden Figures by Margot Lee Shetterly, followed by the movie, we've seen how those stories are incredibly engaging and inspiring. And let's make sure that we're telling all those stories of the people who worked behind the scenes to do the science, who developed the techniques, who developed the tools behind the artifacts that we display. I think that's one of the ways to reach out to all kids and say, look, people who look like you have not just contributed, they've been fundamental to the success of STEM across the board.
Thank you so much, Ellen. I appreciate it.
Thank you.